Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday morning brings on a different feel for different reasons. I think for myself, Mr. Charles, it's the reason of feeling, I should say, based on we get together and have conversations. We've been doing this for quite a bit, maybe not on Sundays, but I did a little research and I had a birdie tell me, too, that we've done over several hundred shows. The show I'm speaking of is when Black Men Talk. It's our conversations, our perspective on various things. I want to thank some folks from around the world that are listening. I was kind of startled when I came across some of these countries where people are basically checking out our podcast. In Belgium, India, France, Germany, and Singapore, places I never visit to, may never get to. But I'm thankful for these folks in this country, these countries are giving us an in. Of course, people throughout the United States that click in and listen, thank you as well. Just don't listen. Tell someone about it. Share it. Let them know that we're having some serious conversations. And for 60 minutes, we cut it up, and you never know what we might cut it up about. Ooh, this is going to be interesting. Mr. DeMaurice, a couple of weeks ago, man, I brought you this idea of a show. And it was just a basic statement for the most part. And I love your response to it. I'm going to get to that in a second. And the statement was, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And it's interesting, a few days ago, I mean, you sent me a video clip of a show we grew up watching, The Honeymooners. Back in the day, I think that show was recorded back in the 50s. So it's about, what, 70 years old? Jackie Gleason and Art Carney did this show. And there's a scene in there where Jackie Gleason says to Art Carney, "I'm going bowling, but I'm not going bowling." And if you think about that statement, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, it's kind of like the same thing. In a way, it doesn't really kind of make a lot of sense to me. But this is the question I'm going to start out with, Mr. DeMaurice. Does love have to make sense?
Yes. To me, it does. It does. Because to me, what you feel and what you see or what the reality is sometimes can be two different things. And so I would say, I mean, I can short answer that I think love really has to make sense. And because a lot of people say, I'm in love with this person, and people are around kind of looking at them like, you know, do you see what the reality is when you say that? And they don't see it, and then it's too late. The person falls in love head over heels, and then they do a lot of things that really don't make sense. And then they find themselves in situations where they're like, man, I regret even making this move. So I think it does need to make sense.
Yeah, I agree with you to an extent that it does. And I think for men, because we're logical thinkers, we want love to make sense. We want everything to make sense. We want to kind of basically see the logic and stuff. Yeah, but sometimes I think at the ground root of it, love is so twisted at times, it can't make sense. It really just can't. And I think sometimes that could be the problem that we may have with it, because we're in it and we're trying to have it make sense, and it just goes off in a different direction. But coming back to the statement, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. And again, when you and I talked about this, man, I thought what you said was profound and was really interesting. And to me, I think it was really at the heart of the statement itself. So when you hear the statement, what's the fundamentals behind I love you, but I'm not in love with you?
I think that it really kind of comes down to, yeah, I love you. You're the person that is with me now, but I don't want to be or don't feel I'm committed to you at this particular time. You know, I love you. You're there. You provide for me. You give me things. So, yeah, you're the person in front of me now. But in the long run, I think that it's not going to, you know, amount to a lot, because, you know, I love you as long as you can provide, as long as you can give me, as long as I can get what I need. But as soon as that is over with, then no, I'm not in love with you. I'm not in love with you in that way where to death do us part. You know, I'm going to be with you until, you know, until the world blows up and all that other stuff. No, it's not that type of love. It's as long as you can provide, as long as you can give me my needs, as long as you can give me whatever I think I need at that particular or want at that particular time, then I'm going to hang in with you. As soon as that runs out, then so do I.
In essence, you know, hearing what you're saying, is that really love? I mean, is that really love, what we think of no love to be? You're basically saying to someone, I'm going to come back to you to get your response, but if you're saying to someone, I love you based on the way you care for me, what you're doing for me, but I'm not in love with you, is that love, Mr. Demeritz?
I don't consider it love. You know, I love the things you do for me. I love the stuff that I get from it, but you know, you're not putting that with the person, like this person really cares, this person really is in my best interest, is what you do for me. It's almost like you're using the person instead of really being in love and really being with that particular person. You love all the things that they do, but you're not accepting that person because somebody else can come along and then all of a sudden you get the feels and then you say, well, yeah, I love you, but I'm in love with this person. So you really love who this other person is. And that person may not be giving you all the things, maybe the material things that the person that you feel like you're in love with is getting, giving you that emotional kind of need that you have, that physical kind of need you have. And then you fall in love with that. But as far as that materialistic and what you can do for me kind of love, I don't think that's love at all.
Yeah, I'm not going to call it love either. And if it is, it's a childish way to love and to look at love. And Mr. Charles, I'm going to bring you in a second, but I want to say something here based on some things Mr. Reese has brought forth, because part of love is a willingness to prioritize others' well-being and happiness above your own. That's a part of love. So when I'm hearing you saying, yeah, you know, I'm getting this from you, so I love you, but I'm not in love with you, I don't know if that fits that principle. I understand it. Because basically you're taking your well-being, your happiness, you're putting it first. And you say, as long as I can get some of that from you, oh, yeah, I love you. But again, I'm not in love with you. To me, it's love is like being pregnant. Either you are or you're not. If you're not in it, you're not in it. If you're in it, you're in it. Mr. Charles, we're talking about I love you, but I'm not in love with you. But before I get you respond to that, I want to have you respond to this first, because sometimes love just doesn't make sense. But should it make sense, Mr. Charles?
Wow. I think it should make sense after a while, but sometimes you can become smitten with a person or situation because it feels good. Imagine, at least for myself, imagine when you first meet somebody, you seem to be bonding, everything seems to be clicking, you're having a good time. So it may not make sense because you're like, oh, man, this is just, we're having fun, it's great, I'm enjoying this person, they're enjoying me, and it's beautiful. And that's how most things pop off that way. But after a time, after you spend some time and you start to really see the person, and both of you are past short and your representative, keep this 100, starting to be sure who you are, getting past the representative, then it should make sense because now it's like, okay, I really want to be here. I'm with this person. This makes sense. And, yeah, I see it for what it is, and this might be a good place or a good thing for me and for us.
With that being said, Mr. Charles, we'll come to the statement which the show is kind of built around for this episode, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Your reaction to it, sir?
Yeah, that happens. It happens a lot. I heard you mention earlier about, you know, that's one thing I love about you, and that's why we're different people in different situations. Like, love is love, and you don't understand it. This ain't love. I'm like, love is mature. Love is this. But I agree with that. But I also think, too, that the experiences that people have, like, some people have never been in love. which, you know, when you mentioned about your definition, how you explained it, some people have never felt that. They don't understand it. So all they know is the type of love that DeMaurice described as well. That's love to them. So whatever they can get, however they feel, they may not be as mature. So that's all they know. So to them, that experience is love. But I will come back to the original statement. You can love somebody, but to be in love with them usually means you're all in, your emotion, all your emotions, your mindset is all connected to this one person, and you truly enjoy being in the space with that person. You can love a lot of people. You can like what they do. They have certain things. I mean, I ain't going to get into that. I'll talk about that later. You can get caught up in something to the situation where you really love somebody and they really are cool. And then, you know, you meet another person and then you're like, I'm in love with this person because, as you mentioned before, how they make you feel. That kind of gets you. But the other person that you love could be doing everything for you, breaking their back just to make sure that they make sure that they're taking care of your needs. But you're not in love with them. Been there, done that. That's for another show or later on.
No, but again, I understand that, but okay, if you love someone, let me come back to you with this one. You love someone. You're truly in love with someone. I know you said they're taking care of your needs, but if you're truly in love with someone and someone else comes along, how can you just easily go to that other person?
No, I just said, let me clarify. I don't think you should be able to if you are truly in love with someone. Because if you do that, in my opinion, if you're able to just go that move that quickly, that means something's missing. And perhaps you were fooling yourself that you truly were not committed or not in love with that person. You didn't love them like the way you're supposed to. Something's missing. Because it's kind of like, and I haven't been married, but I was talking to someone before, if you're dedicated and you love this person, normally you would say, I'm going to make all efforts to stay in this relationship and stay committed to it because it's right and it feels good and it's probably going to be better for us long term. There's something, a connection there that makes you want to work at it. And at the end of the day, love, marriage, what have you, is about a commitment that two people want to have to try to make this work because of how you feel.
Okay. Mr. DeMaurice, I'm coming back to you with this one because what I want us to think about for a second, let's say you were in a situation, you met someone, you and this person basically established your relationship, and you're thinking long-term about her. Do you want her to be in love with you without the possibility that I don't love you, or you want her to be in love with you with the possibility that she may not be in love with you?
I think I have to go with the first one where I would rather her be in love with me. But it's kind of a double-edged sword because feelings change over time. So she's in love with me now, and you hear that with older couples where, you know, they were in love at one particular time, but they've gotten to the point where they've gotten used to each other. So, you know, this is the person that I hate this word, settle with over time and learn how to be, you know, friends and learn how to really kind of coexist with this person. But I would rather go for the person being in love with me and then over time maybe getting used to the fact that, you know, we are compatible and we're there for each other and that this person is committed to you over time than the latter.
Okay. Now, what if over time she finds herself not loving you or not being in love with you? How would you want her to handle that?
Yeah, that's the double-edged sword because feelings change and people change and they evolve. And, you know, I would want the person to be very honest in how they feel, so that, you know, you're not sideswiping thinking that you're in a committed relationship, and then all of a sudden the person says, you know, well, I don't feel that way anymore. And they may be looking at other options or looking to get out of it, because, you know, we're human beings, and you know, at one particular point you may love strawberry ice cream, and then you get to a point where you're like, you know what, I don't want strawberry ice cream anymore. You know, I've had enough of it. I used to love it. I could eat it every day, but I got to a point where I'm eating it every day, and you know, I want to try butter pecan now. And so, as human beings, we have that, you know. We have, you know, that ability to change over time and develop different tastes. So I think the key to it when somebody falls out of love with you is to be honest enough, and that transparency word comes up, to tell the other person how you feel, so that person is not thinking that, you know, that everything is the same as it was when you got together, that the same feeling that you feel the same way. I've heard a number of women say this. I think I've heard Michelle Obama say this, and I think I've heard Viola Davis say this, is that at some point in your relationship, you're going to look at the other person and say, I don't like this person. I don't like them. Even though you were madly in love with them, and all of a sudden, and how they had to fight through that particular period in their marriage or in their relationship, where you're with a person where you're saying, you know, this is where marriage kind of, you know, the hard work kind of comes in, when you're 10 years in and you go, you know what, I really don't like this person. And I've been there, not just 10 years, but you get into relationships, and all of a sudden you see all the layers of the onion peeled away, and you go, you know what, I really, this person, why am I with this person? Why am I with this person? I don't even know this person. This person has turned out to be a person that I, you know, in normal circumstances wouldn't be with, but you find yourself in that situation. So our feelings change, we evolve. And I think what happens in relationships and how they go really bad and sour is that people aren't being honest in how they feel or giving updates on how they feel, so the other person can make the adjustment and go on or try to make it work, or to just walk away.
Good stuff. Mr. Charles, coming to you with the same question, basically. If you're starting out with someone, things start to develop, they start to grow. Would you rather hear from her she loves you, or she loves you but she's not in love with you?
I'd agree with the first one as well. You definitely want somebody to love you, actually to be in love with you, because that means that they care about you. It might be something to go on. And it's a great feeling to have somebody that you know is in love with you. It's a great thing. I do think it was an interesting point there, as you mentioned about falling out of love, that that we are human. But one thing that I think is very key, and it can happen for both men and women, but I think even for men, it's to a point where you might be in a connection with a woman and she's in love with you, like literally, and she's in love with you. And you go along the first few years or whatever it may be, and the person might fall out of love with you, because maybe the love that you were giving, or what you thought was love, was immature, right? You know, you've never experienced that before. You're young. You don't know what's going on. And they like you, or they love you early on, and then you should be developed. And that doesn't, your love doesn't grow. You don't mature. And sometimes you don't mature until it's too late, where you miss your opportunity. Now that person is like, I need something else. And you're trying to catch up. But it's too late, because now they moved on, and you had opportunity when they loved you at that time. And unfortunately, no matter how, as you mentioned before, you can try to catch up. But how women are scorned sometimes or what have you, you just can't get that love back that you originally had, even though you're ready to commit and share it now.
So when she says to you, Mr. Charles, that I love you, but I'm not in love with you. How do you respond to that?
Just have to take it for what it is. And I think for me it would be depending on the amount of time that we spent, right? If we spent some time together and she initially said she was in love with me, but now it just depends. And I have to look at it for what it is. I mean, that may hurt if we spend time together because I'm like, well, we have a great thing going here. What happened or whatever? I would feel some kind of way. But again, that I think an important part is what Dee Maurice mentioned earlier. I think if I was able to communicate with her and we could share our feelings and see what's going on, then it could be honest. It may hurt, and maybe I might have to move on to see the relationship differently, but the communication would help me to understand where I'm at instead of just going on and on. As I mentioned before, when you're trying to get back to where it was, and sometimes you're just spinning your wheels because it's not possible.
Mr. Dee Maurice, is true love spoken or is it conveyed with the heart, sir?
I think it's both. It's spoken, and you have to have, action after you speak those words. So I'll give you an example of that. So if a woman ever asks you, say, do you love me? And the guy's response is like, yeah, I love you. If she's asking you that, she's really telling you that she's not really feeling the love. He's saying it with his words, but there's no action behind it. You know, he probably is responding to it and not even looking at her or looking at her eyes, in her eyes, and saying, yeah, I truly love you, or giving some kind of gesture or a hug or a kiss or an embrace or something like that. So you can say the words, but if there's no actions behind it, then it really doesn't mean anything. And especially if somebody asks you, do you love me? They're telling you, or they're asking you because you're not showing it. There is no affection behind it. There's no action behind it. And for the mere fact that they have to ask you, there's something missing.
That's why our goal should be conveyed with the heart. Because the mouth can speak it, but the heart should make you feel it. And we know a lot of cases and been a lot of situations where people are quick to say, I love you. And we might say it in the early stage because things are going well. You're vibing to an extent. And as you said earlier, you met the person, the onion hasn't gotten peeled back yet. So all the euphorism that's going on, you jump up and you're saying it, but is the heart really making you feel that way? Is it being conveyed to you? So for me, I would take let it be conveyed by the heart, because you could say it all day. If I don't feel it, the words mean nothing to me. If you love me, I should feel it. And I'm not saying based on what you do. I just believe two hearts, when they're entwined together, they find a way to sink and you feel it. So the words can be spoken all day, but if you speak in the words and my heart's not feeling it, and I'm going to say solely on your actions, but my heart is my guide. It's my compass. It allows me to feel and guide me to differentiate what's real, what's not real. So if my heart's telling me that you ain't there, you can go to a chalkboard and write it 1,000 times. It just doesn't mean anything to me. Same question for you, Mr. Charles. Is true love spoken or is it conveyed with the heart?
I think it is a combination of both. But I think the heart is very important because a person has to feel, as you said, they have to feel like they're genuinely loved, cared about, that you're showing that whatever, you're giving them reason to feel that way. You can say it all day. People are like, oh, there's some people, they say it just out of habit, out of repetition, because they think that's what you want to say or it's the normal thing. It's almost like good morning. Hey, good morning, I love you. Oh, okay. And it's just kind of what they do. But when you're dealing with the matters of the heart, it has to have that way. I think it's interesting about that too, though, is you as a person can be doing all you want to for a person and thinking they're in love, you're showing them your love, and you may not say it often, and they complain, like, as you mentioned, like something's missing, like, do you love me? And I've had that situation where somebody asked me that, and I'm like, well, Do I do anything, anybody else like this? Do I show anybody else like, I mean, I'm giving you this treatment, or I'm showing you this love that your girlfriends would die for? You understand what I'm saying? So I guess that's the point where you have to figure out what is missing and what did that person need. And I know you mentioned about the heart, but you just kind of ask yourself sometimes, if I'm doing these extra things and doing all this other stuff, what is it? Is that mean that that person's insecure and that's on them? They're missing something? Because in normal actuality, you think, what else do I need to do? But that's for another time. I don't mean to get off topic, but that's something to think about, I think. Keep in mind.
Absolutely. You know, falling in love, maybe it's a process, maybe it happening unknowing to us, where it just kind of basically takes place. But how, Mr. Charles, I'm coming back to you. This question may be, have some rough edges to it. But how do you know when you're falling in love?
That is rough edges. I'm not supposed to be telling you secrets, but I'm going to give it to you. You are. And out of respect, D. Maurice, he coming for us, bro. I'm trying to tell you right now, bro. I'm telling you, he got the O's. He got, as they say, he got the jump off. You see it down the track, and you know the police waiting on you. That's the only way you can go. So we're going to go. We're going to walk down that road. Anyway, the point of it is, though, I think you just emotionally, you just feel it. Also, too, you find yourself thinking about that person. Also, you just do things that are not normal. You're kind of like, oh, my God, I just think about this. We had a great – you start thinking about the great times that you have with that person. You look forward to spending more time with that person. You're just all in. Your mind, you know, your mind and your heart is speaking, and you're like, oh, I wonder what she's doing. I don't want to call her too early. But I'm like, I just want to send her a good morning text. You're all in. All of your energies, for the most part, are channeled towards her. You can't wait to see her. You're just thinking about it. You're like, maybe we could take a trip. You start thinking stuff in the future. Well, maybe she can meet my people, my parents, or whatever. You're just all in. Maybe we can just go to the library and just read a book and hold hands. All of this stuff, it's channeled around her. Your universe, a lot of times, is all in, and that's what lets me know that, damn, I'm really digging this person. I really like this person. I love him.
Yeah. Mr. DeMaurice, it's different for some people. Maybe it's kind of the same for a lot of people, but how does Mr. DeMaurice fall in love?
When I'm getting to the point where I'm sacrificing to make sure the other person, I'm sacrificing whatever to make sure the other person is getting their needs met and that they are satisfied and they are, they are number one. I'm letting them know that whatever goes on, you are number one, and nothing moves without, you know, making sure that you're good with it. So I think it has to, when I feel myself sacrificing things that make me happy or sacrificing and not being selfish and thinking not just of me but of we, then that's when I know that I'm going down that road.
Yeah, I'm in line with you there, more so to where when I'm starting to care really a lot about your happiness, you know, your well-being, making sure you're good, and always want to see you in a good spot. And when I'm starting to care that way, when my heart moves me in that direction, yeah, that's when it's there. Now, a word came out earlier. I think it came from you, Mr. Muse, about compatibility. And it's interesting because falling in love here again, it's a beautiful thing. You got the euphoria going, all that's happening. And I'm wondering sometimes, how do we get from there? We just talked about how we fall, and we talked about being in love, not in love, and all that other stuff. But how does something so beautiful, so precious, to where, you know, like I said, I'm caring, my heart's there. How does that get from here to where a certain point later, we're not grooving anymore. And I'm wondering, is a big part of that's because all of that being said, are we compatible? What is compatibility playing in that role, Mr. DeMaurice?
Oh, it's very key because when I just mentioned, like, when you sacrifice and you kind of, you know, dial down your needs and wants for the other person, you know, just to make sure they're good. If they're not reciprocating and they don't have, like, common interests, what you're going to find yourself doing, I know I've done this, I'm going to go back to my interests. I'm going to go back to all the things that the needs and wants that I have. And if they're not aligned with some of the things that you like to do or activities that you like to be in, then I'm going to spend time getting back to me and getting back to being a little bit selfish about me. And that might not be something that you want to do or be involved with. So that's going to kind of force us to be apart, or me committing more time to the stuff that is going to make me happy. And if you're not involved with that, if you're not compatible with that, then I think over time, you start moving in separate ways. And I think that's what happens in relationships where, yeah, we're feeling this, we're in love with each other at a certain point of time, but then you start gravitating to what, you know, really makes you happy. That person is maybe feeling a little bit neglected because it's like, well, you used to do all this stuff and we used to do this, and now you're not doing all the stuff you used to do before. Maybe they start saying, oh, you've changed because we used to do this together, and now all of a sudden you don't want to do this anymore. It's no, you made a sacrifice and compromise, and now you're looking for that compromise to come back, and it's not coming back, but you're still who you are, and you're going to do what's going to make you happy. So I think that in that sense, people kind of fall back into their own selfish ways or what makes them happy, and they fall out of love. And then sometimes you meet people who have those commonalities and you want to spend time with them. And you find that, hey, we're compatible in this way. And then you start talking to more and more and more and go, hey, I can really hang out with this person because they like to do the things I like to do. They're interested in the things that I'm interested in. And maybe the person that I'm with, maybe we're not compatible now. Now you start to see it. So when you started off the question about, you know, how, you know, you're in love and you know, I'm not in love with you and all this other stuff, you get to a point where you go, okay, maybe this is not the right person, you know, for me. And maybe I didn't see it at first, but now I'm starting to see that, you know, we are, you know, worlds apart. And it happens in relationships all the time. It's almost like you get a potion when you see a person and you kind of have these hormones of fall in love. And then after a while, you start to see what it is. You know, you start to see reality. It's like, it's not love. It's just, it was just a space and time where we were feeling each other. Maybe we needed each other at certain points. But now, it's, you know, the reality of it is that it's not really love. It's you know, we needed each other or wanted each other or we were attracted to each other. And now we're starting to see, you know, what it really is. And it's not love. It's, you know, we just, you know, cross paths.
But in the meantime, you two were calling in love, correct? Just trying to get an eye. Okay, see. But it wasn't love. It could be this. It could be this, too. And I don't, you know, I'm going to come to you in a second, Mr. Charles. I look at it like this as well, too. If you haven't been in love in a while, let's just say you really haven't been. Like anything else, you kind of starve for it. Your emotions are starved for it. Your heart is starved for it.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you've been in that cycle, and then you come across someone, it's a flood to want to open up and welcome it in because you haven't had that in a while. So we don't sometimes take a step back and stand back and evaluate. We feel certain things, and we jump the gun, and we make the assumption that it's love when it's not love at all. Because realistically, to me, compatibility is more than, okay, you want to do some of the things I want to do, That's not compatibility. The compatibility in this to me is that there could be some things about me that may irritate you, but you're willing to understand to be with me, you're going to accept those things. And the same me for you. And I realize that there's a trade-off. And if we can meet on that level, now we're starting to be compatible. I mean, I don't want to go to beauty salon with you. I mean, I don't want you coming places with me. But when we're together, I want us to blend to where we blend harmoniously. That's the compatibility. But early on, when you meet the person, of course, you know, the attraction is there, the physical attraction, the chemistry is bouncing off, and you're on the phone, you're giggling, you know, and all that stuff. you know, the texts and the emails and the this and that and all that in the restaurant. You know, I think sometimes we've been fooled and programmed because, let's be honest, we've seen this stuff on television. Lifetime, all that, which makes us think that's love, and that's not love. Like you said, with, you know, Michelle Obama was saying, when you realize a person that you've been around, you claim you love them, and you may not want to be around them anymore, see, that's not I love you, I want to be with you. I'm going to love you in spite of that. That's the compatibility. And I'm pretty sure that's a problem with a lot of our relationships. We're quick to rush in because we, you know, in a sense, we starve for love. We want that emotion. We want to feel certain things, and we think that she's it. She think that he's it. You know, and of course, we're looking at what they have and what they can be. We make all these projections in our mind, but are we compatible with that soul that's across from us? Are we truly compatible? And then what happens when we realize we're not, the communication is not there, this is not there. Now, by then, you all may be married. Now you're mad at each other. You're not willing to work because you were really never in love at all anyway. You brought all the worldly stuff into it with love not being there. Just my, you know, my opinion, but I'm going to come to you, Mr. Charles, with, you know, with that and the question itself about compatibility. Because I don't think a lot of times when we're dating and we're meeting people, we're not thinking about compatibility. You know, we're happy, you know, we're the hunters. We're happy to go out there and hunt, you know, knock her over the head, pull her back home. And then once we get her back home, we realize, I ain't compatible with her. I'm not compatible. So the role compatibility plays, Mr. Charles.
Well, definitely down the line, it plays a huge part. Like you said, you become enamored with somebody, you hit them over the head, you drag them back to the house, or whatever. But anyway, I'm just playing. But you want to be loved, and it's new, it's fresh, and you're having fun, and that's what everybody wants. It's, you know, everybody wants to feel good and enjoy being around somebody. But as you continue to move forward, I think part of compatibility, a key thing for me is, once I get to know you a little bit and we get past the representatives, I need to understand that person's life, who they are, what makes them who they are, what do they do, what do they like. I need to understand that so I get a full scope or picture of what they do. And then I have to ask myself, will this work for me? Can I work with this? Can I deal with this? Can I understand this? And it might be because it might be a person that has a lack of experience in life that you have, right? They may not have that. So the question is, you might have to explain things as you're moving along. But that's part of, when you mentioned about Michelle Obama, one thing she mentioned is she almost had to kind of educate or work along with Barack until he became the person that she was looking for. He had to grow. And that's what they mentioned about being with somebody else. And he made the joke. He's like, oh, the lady would have been first lady if he dated somebody else. She's like, what about the guy? He said, oh, he would have been president. The whole point of it is she worked with him until he got to that point. But compatibility is key because you have to understand who the person is, where they at that point, and be okay with that. And when you don't, we hear that. I get off this last point. We hear that famous line, when it doesn't go together, and you say, well, I'm not compatible with this person now. And she'll go, well, you go, so say whatever you say to her. And she goes, well, you know who I was and you who I was when you first met me.
Yeah, that statement right there, that's one of the worst statements you want to hear, bro.
Yeah. Now you know you're stuck.
This is why. Oh, yeah, you know. 2-4 kids later. Yeah, you know I was. I just say, you know, really be careful with your heart, brothers, because realistically, I'm not saying it's easy, but you want to really be somewhat sure, because you can get in that euphoria of love and thinking it's love and rolling with it and find out later, shortly there later, after, you know, their whatever their representative was there, that, you know, underneath, it's not who you think it is. And I like what you said, Mr. Charles, where you want to find out about their lives. And realistically, try to understand how they got here. How do they get here? What brought them here? Their makeup or why they're here? And then, can you handle that? Can you really be part of that? Because whatever that is their makeup, you know. And can you understand that? Can you deal with it? And if you can't, you know, again, like Mr. Marie said earlier, you want to communicate that and go, you know what? I'm not up for this. I'm not, you know, X, Y, Z. I'm not, because at some point, you know, dealing with that is going to bring you some headaches, and vice versa. It's going to bring you some headaches. So do you want to take the headache pills and deal with it, or you don't? And a lot of times I think we choose not to take the headache pills, but we don't say anything about it. We ride it out for a little while till it gets messy, till it gets raggedy, and then we decide, you know what, I don't really love her anyway. And that's what, here again, we come back to that statement. I'm in love with you, but I don't love you. And that's what it is, to where I think the rush should not to be in love. There should not be a rush. And I know that it goes against what your heart may be feeling, but, again, I'll say it again, a lot of times, because if you haven't been in a while, it's like you haven't eaten in a while, and you walk into a restaurant, you don't have to pay any food. If you pay money for the food, you're going to eat what you eat. You're going to go in, you're going to try to, you know, because you're starved. And I think mentally we have to understand our bodies and our hearts and realize, it's going to take a little while. Let's really understand what's in front of us. With that being said, Mr. DeMaurice, we're going to jump into our questions for this week, sir. And your first one.
Oh, this is a doozy right here. We're going to stick on this subject of love. And I wanted to ask if when you're sleeping next to a loved one, it's supposed to, like, help you fall asleep faster. It's supposed to reduce depression and anxiety and help you live longer. Have you ever been in situations where you're sleeping with someone or after you sleep with them, or you find yourself in situations where you've been intimate and you can't sleep and you don't feel these feelings or benefits of being in love or sleeping next to somebody that you love? Have you ever been in those situations where you're not reaping these benefits of, you know, living longer, less depressed, less anxiety, all that good stuff?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, then you realize that's not, then you make it to where if you're going to continue that act, the sexual act, you're not spending the night, or they're not spending the night. Because realistically, even beyond the sexual act, being in the bed, and I think we might take this for granted, but really being in bed and sleeping with someone, that's an intimate thing, bro. It really is. And if you're not intertwined and you're not connected, yeah, you're going to have that. If you can't feel, for me, I got to feel relaxed enough and feel at ease to go to sleep. I just have to. Now, I'm one of those cats. I can sleep anywhere. Basically, if I'm tired at any time, I can do it. But so for me, if I don't feel that comfortability, oh, hell no. One of us got to go. It might be me. So, yeah, if that's the case, then you realize if you can't, you know, cut off a non-cuddle up the person in bed and get a good night's sleep, because sleep is important. It's vital. It's vital. So, yes, I mean, that's happened. And then you realize that person, for the most part, may not sound good. They might be good for the act, but they're not good to basically, you know, for a night's sleep. Mr. Charles.
Yeah, no. I've been in a situation where act is great, and you even go to the point of to making sure they're good using a DeMaurice motion of cuddling, making sure they're set and everything, and they might venture out to sleep. And then you roll over to the other side and you go, start looking at the wall. And you turn your back so you can't be seen. You left them in the corner like, well, eventually I'm going to fall asleep. Been there, done that. So just do what you got to do, man, especially if you're going to spend the night. But it's unfortunate because you mentioned that feeling a certain kind of way and relaxed is very intimate. It means you're uninhibited. You're allowing yourself to feel comfortable because you want to be there and you want to be at peace. But there have been times where you just go, damn. And you say to yourself, how much longer am I going to let this last? How much longer is this going to last? How much longer am I going to let this go on? Because if I'm not happy, I can't just do it because she wants me to do it and be there if I'm not feeling it.
Good question, Mrs. Maurice Smith, because that's something we don't really, very seldom, we know it, but we don't probably talk about. Good question. Your response, sir?
So let me just describe what we all just described. There is such a thing, and this probably is for another show, called post-nut syndrome, where
okay,
a guy
this again.
doesn't know whether or not he's in love with you until you have that first nut. And then after that post-nut syndrome, you feel like, okay, I can really be with this person, or, I love the act, but I don't think I want to be part of this relationship. I'm not going to commit to this. This is just what it is.
I think they're two worlds apart, my brother. I think they're worlds apart. Realistically, I don't see the post nut or the first nut has anything to do with love. Honestly speaking, I just don't. I mean, the nut has nothing to do if you don't feel comfortable in the bed. I just don't get it, man. But I know you stuck on that theory, so any chance you think you can prove it, you coming with it. But I don't see it. I just don't see it. Your question, Mr. Charles.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to Love Doctor, a.k.a. Don Juan. The Love Doctor, ladies and gentlemen, the Love Doctor. Anyway. Okay, so we might as well stay in this, and I love it because while we get up almost against the clock to make y'all tight, y'all have to start getting scrambling. So let's get into it. You mentioned earlier about the question was about how you know that you're in love and start feeling like you're in love for this person. And both of your responses was to me, it's who you are in that school, but it sounded like it's politically correct. You're like that man response. You're like, well, I know I start doing certain things for her. I make her number one, whatever, and whatnot. And I'm like, okay, that's all. When I gave y'all my heart, right, y'all went to that other little, well, you know I start doing it. And that might be how you feel, but let's keep this 100, brother. My question is, stop the BS, bro. What makes your damn heart flutter when it comes to a woman? Let's keep this 100. What makes your heart flutter? Now, you know what I'm talking about, too. Let's take the gloves off, take your cape off, take your wigs off, or whatever it may be. What makes your heart flutter, bro?
I'm serious, man. I mean, to me, that's it. Like, when I'm in her presence, your heart flutter, you want to care for her. I'm realistically, you're in her presence when you're not, but when you more so when you see her. You know, your heart, you basically want to, you may not do it, but you want to wrap yourself around and just care for her. I mean, I don't know if I can make it sound any more different than that, man. It's kind of simple for the most part. I mean, and when you're not, you know, you don't just think about this someone you're going out a date with. For the most part, you know, you want to be a gentleman, but you don't feel that way. You know, you don't feel that way. But when you feel that way about her, you know, basically from the moment you're around her, you're not around her, it's like you want to put a shield around her to make sure she's good. You care when you realize that your heart, and basically, even if you ain't thinking about it, your heart tells you about it. And that's the flutter for me. I mean, that's it. I don't know if I could break it down any deeper than that, man. I thought yours was, I don't know, I didn't hear any heart in yours, man. I heard that, you know, you like her, you're doing whatever. I didn't hear that, but, you know, that you're texting her.
Oh.
That's right,
okay.
You can't stop texting her. You're staring at your phone. I mean, to each his own, I get it. But for me, that's what it is, boss. Your response, Mr. DeMaurice?
Oh, man, she got to have a banging body. Gorgeous face. I'm being real. I'm keeping it real. Physically attractive to wear. And she doesn't have to dress like, you know, having it all out, everything. You can tell how she's shaped, what her body is like with you know, just I don't care what she wears, but she doesn't have to be slutty in doing it. And the way she carries herself. But those eyes have to sparkle. That smile has to, like, just warm your heart. And her body. I mean, she's got to, have a tight body. I'm probably going to get, you know, fan mail like, oh, you know, you guys all think. Yeah, we're physical. We like to see pretty things. That's why the porn industry is a $1 billion industry or more, a $1 trillion industry, because men are enticed by what they see. And I'm a man, so I'm enticed by what I see. I mean, a booty man, you can call me, a breast man. I got to see that, you know, you taking care of yourself and you nice and tight. And you don't have to be like, perfect. You know, you can have some, as my father say, you can be healthy and still get that attention. But, you know, the package got to be enticing. It has to be enticing for me to say, you know what, I'm noticing you more than I'm noticing anybody else in this room. So I got to keep it real. It's a physical attraction for me.
But my question real quick, is that love? Because you just said that's physical attraction. I thought the question was, I mean, flutter is one thing, but I thought, how do you know when you're falling in love? So you're falling in love with a big booty, big breast? That's what I'm just asking.
Yeah, it's like that's going to attract me first to kind of see, okay, now I need to investigate this. I need more answers. I got questions. And so, so that's going to lure me in. Now, I'll find out the other stuff a little bit later, but that's going to lure me in.
I might be missing something here, man, because to me, that's falling in lust. That's not love. Now, if you're asking me about falling in lust, if that's the question, I'll answer it. But if you ask me when I know I'm falling in love, like I said, it's totally different. But that sounds like lust. And don't get me wrong, I fell in lust numerous times. I know the difference. But that's lust to me, my brother. That's not love. That's lust. And I'm not knocking lust for anyone else, but that's what lust is, man. Of course, you know, that's what gets our attention. It, you know, gets us going. And I don't know if that's the question Mr. Charles asked. You got to tell Mr. Charles, when you talk about lust or love, which one, my brother?
Nah, bro, you know, ain't no, your heart don't flutter with no damn lust. Keep just 100 to do something wrong with you,
well,
bro.
You got to say lust, man. You got to say lust. You said fall in love. I think I spelled love, L-O-V-E. I spelled lust, L-U-S-T. Which one?
I said, what makes your heart flutter? A
flutter.
Big booty and
a
smile will make your heart flutter.
No, big booty will make my heart. Big booty will still make my heart flutter. No, that makes my eyes appeal. Yeah, I mean that makes my body respond. That moves the needle. Hell yeah. I mean that's it. I mean realistically, if you're asking that question,
what makes your face shape, though? What makes you make the stink face when you see a woman like woo? What makes you make that face?
Oh, it's got to be. It's top to bottom. You know, realistically, because most of the time the bottom and the top may not match. When you get the bottom and the top both banging, then damn, that's the woo-wee. Now, most of the time you're going to get bottom and, you know, the ass might be plump, thighs might be there, but the breast may not be, you know, you may not have all that. But when you get full breast, full thighs, full ass, and then you put a pretty face on top of it, well, hell, you stop the traffic, my brother. You stop the traffic. You pull over. Woo-woo-woo, but you got to be a little more clear, Mr. Charles. That heart fluttering stuff, man, you got to get right to the damn point. What makes you lust after it? That's what I'm trying to say. But I hope I answered your question the second time around. Sorry about that. Your response, Mr. Charles?
Yeah, well, neither one of y'all answered the damn question. Flutter means that you are uncontrollably whatever. Lust is, in my opinion, that you just kind of go like, damn, oh, that don't make your heart go. Oh, I feel some kind of way. You be like, you already think of one thing, and that's Mr. Junior is already in control. But the point of it is to answer the question is, for me, is I agree with the physical attraction looking at them first, but then also, too, when they bring that other part of the package, where they understand who you are. They're this great woman in regards to make you feel some kind of way emotionally, and they pay attention to who you are and they care about what you're about to enhance or improve you. That's what makes my heart flutter, because it's like it's a combination. Now, don't get me wrong, I like all of the thighs and the front and the back and the top, but that combination of her awareness as well, and then also to throw that little thing in called femininity, bruh, a dress and some other things, it's a wrap. I'm your dude.
We got a few minutes left. We're going to come back and throw this out real quick. But I'll say this, man. Maybe it's just me. I'm too damn for my heart to be fluttering. I don't want a heart attack, man. So I try to avoid heart fluttering. I fought a lot when I was younger. But I'm going to come back with this question here, because we're talking about love. Mr. Charles, I'll give each of us will take a minute on this for the most part. You know, we're talking about love in a sense, and we're gentlemen. We're at a certain point in life. What does love mean to you now? At this point in your life, what does love mean? It's something you covet, something you want. What does it mean?
Love means it will be something that I would love to have. Not sure if I'll get it because it takes, as we mentioned earlier, it takes a lot to be all in. And as you get older, when you went through some things, I'm quite cautious because I'm in a good place by myself, and I don't want to endanger that if it's not going to be real. But then again, in order for it to be real, you got to take a risk. So with all that being said, within my minute, quite cautious, encouraged, optimistic, but still cautious.
Mr. DeMaurice, love, what it means to you at this point, sir?
It means peace and no drama. You know, let's be a mature adult and let's you know, do away with all the theatrics that come behind the feelings and all that other stuff, and realize that, you know, time is of the essence, and that we need to be taking this time to enjoy life, enjoy each other, and not just, you know, bring up petty arguments and petty things to kind of keep things quote unquote exciting. You know, let's chill. Let's erase all the drama and all that stuff and just enjoy life. Enjoy what life has to offer, and enjoy it with each other. That's what love means to me at this particular point.
Yeah, I'm going to steal some of that, man, because I think you have to realize where you are in life at this present moment, and what do you value? What do you really value? Do you value basically feeling good, feeling peaceful? Or you value drama? You know, you want to value, you know, stuff that's not real. It is. And to me, if love just can be what it's meant to be, yeah, it's a beautiful thing. We'll love to experience. But if the things that come with it, do you really want to put up with it at this age, at this stage? That's the thing. Do you really want to go through all that? Not meaning that you don't want to work to have it, but it's like at this point, you just kind of want to work. You just want to work. And if it can't work, then let's not have it. Let's not have it. Another minute to go, man. We come to you real quick, Mr. Charles. You happy we stay with your practice, sir? 30 minutes. You happy? Happy? Are you happy?
No, I'm not happy, but you know what? I ain't mad because it was unprecedented when it comes to this tournament. No number ones made the Final Four. So a lot of parity. So you had to be great early, which you were. So it's unprecedented. So it's all good, though. We still got the NFL, baby, so good luck.
Congratulations. Clock out. What you got, Mr. DeMaurice? 30 seconds. What you got, Paul?
Hey, man, I gave my best shot. We'll see what happens today, bro. This has been a wild tournament.
See what happens today. Is all we talk about. I'm the winner. You ain't got a watch today.
I still got hope. Keep hope alive.
I was hoping one of you two would congratulate me.
They might change the numbers on the bracket like they did in the fifth.
Y'all stay good, stay black. Take care of yourself. We'll get together real soon.